Title of the sermon is The Hill Difficulty. That's a phrase taken from John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress. And so I'm going to ask the cadets and gems first. Have you ever climbed a hill? Yeah, I can see some nods. That's good. Yeah. Everybody else ever climbed a hill? Really, if living in Christchurch, if you haven't climbed a hill, you haven't got a lot of excuse because they're pretty close. Port Hills, not far away. The mountains, the Southern Alps, also very close. We're blessed here in Christchurch with lots of hills close by. Hills, you know, come in different shapes and sizes, and we call big hills mountains. I've always admired those people who have the commitment, the courage, and the self-discipline to climb high steep hills. People like Alex Honnold, a gifted professional rock climber who climbed the world's tallest vertical or almost vertical rock face, El Capitan, in Yosemite National Park in June 2017. Why, you might ask, has what he did back then been described as one of the greatest athletic feats in the entire history of mankind? Well, it's very simple. Alex Honnold climbed 1,000 meters up on an almost vertical rock face with no rope. One false move, one slip, and his life would have ended in death at the bottom of that rock face. He had a goal, Alex Honnold did, to get to the top of El Capitan in a way that had never been done before and so far has never been done since. Now, in our text from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul describes his life in following Christ as being like an athletic race in which he strains forward to what lies ahead. The gospel call to follow Jesus Christ is an upward call of God and is pictured in John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, as the character Christian comes to a steep hill. I'm going to pick it up now from The Pilgrim's Progress, quoting from that book. I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There were also in the same place two other ways besides that which came straight from the gate. The one turned to the left hand, the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up the hill. And the name of the going up the side of the hill is called difficulty. Now, the word difficulty, if you look it up in the dictionary, is a thing hard to accomplish. Living for Jesus, cadets and gems and everybody else, living for Jesus is a thing hard to accomplish. But the challenges of the Christian life are worth every effort. Because the prize, you see, is so very valuable. We're going to look at our text this morning under three headings: climbing without distractions, climbing forwards, and climbing for the prize. So firstly, climbing without distractions. So cadets and gems, I'm going to ask you another question. You could nod if the answer's yet or yes, or shake your heads if it's not. Have you done the hiking badge yet? Oh, there's a few. But quite a few like this. Okay. You know, today with TV and the internet and cell phones, they can be very distracting. So much so that some people have said that the reason why cadets and gems and the youth group don't go tramping in the hills perhaps as much as they used to is because they have so much ready access to entertainment technology. I don't know if that's true. But I do know that a distraction divides your attention and makes it more difficult to concentrate on a task. I mean, that's something we know is true for all of us. But distractions in life are nothing new. They just take a different form today than they did in times past. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians about how he focuses on living for Jesus. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what does he mean by forgetting what lies behind? It has here the sense of not paying attention to. And so the imagery that the Apostle Paul is using here, it's like an athletic race, and he's running, and he's not distracted by all the other people who are behind him, who are competing with him. Now, in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian met two other men at the bottom of the hill, Difficulty, and their names were Formalist and Hypocrisy. I've never met someone called Formalist or called Hypocrisy, but John Bunyan uses these character names to convey some truth. A formalist is a person who strictly follows sets of rules and regulations. People who follow religious practices, for example, like attending church services, Bible study groups, and regularly giving for the work of the church, but have no faith. Formalists. They've got all the appearance of religion, but there's no change of heart. So one of the characters is called Formalist. The other is called Hypocrisy. Now, a hypocrite is somebody who says they believe something, but act and live in a way that's different and against or contrary to what they say they believe. And so the life of a hypocrite doesn't match their profession of faith. Now, in the Pilgrim's Progress, neither Formalist nor Hypocrisy had entered by the narrow gate. And that narrow gate in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress represents coming to faith in Christ. Formalist and Hypocrisy saw no problem in having come in the wrong way. And they said to Christian, "If we are in, we're in. You are but in the way. We, as we perceive, came in at the gate. You, as we perceive, came in at the gate, and we also are in the way." It'd be a bit like someone sitting in the church service who's not saved, who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, who turns to someone next to them who is a person of faith and says, "Well, what difference does it make? We're both in church, we're both singing songs, we're both listening to a service. What does it matter whether a person believes or not?" When Christian, Formalist, and Hypocrisy come to the bottom of the hill Difficulty, there were two other ways that were there besides the one that came straight from the gate, the narrow gate. One was called Danger, and the other was called Destruction. A non-believing Formalist and Hypocrisy took what they thought was the easier way in order to avoid climbing up the hill Difficulty, and Bunyan records they both perished in the way. Although he spoke briefly to these two characters, Christian didn't allow himself to get distracted. Instead, he started climbing. For Alex Honnold, climbing the rock face of El Capitan without a rope, any distractions, think about it for a moment, any distraction, any momentary loss of concentration, and he would have fallen off and died. There were many things that could have distracted the Apostle Paul as he moved forwards and upwards in Christ. In the past, he'd been a persecutor of the church. He writes about that in Philippians 3:6. As a Christian, he'd suffered much loss for the sake of his Savior. And personally, he had this ongoing struggle. We don't really know what it was in detail, but he describes it elsewhere as being a thorn in the flesh. Maybe it was a temptation that he just couldn't shake. Maybe it was some physical weakness or mental weakness. We don't know. He experienced anxiety, a real concern and care for the churches, which was a heavy burden on him. You know, cadets and gems, for all of us, whether we're younger or we're older, we all have distractions, hindrances, weaknesses, difficulties, and at times opposition in our lives. I mean, think about this. A life free from these things is just not possible in this world. It's just not possible. The nature of the world means that we always face these kinds of difficulties and weaknesses. And so how can we possibly climb this hill Difficulty without distraction? Well, the answer is by not paying too much attention to them. Not paying too much attention to the obstacles and to our weaknesses and opposition in a way that would distract us from straining forwards toward the goal, to what lies ahead. been my experience as a pastor, both personally and knowing the lives of other people, that regrets of the past can often be hugely paralyzing for a person. Looking back, being distracted by what's happened in the past. Perhaps you, particularly if you're older as I am, know what I'm talking about particularly well. Well, you see, in the Pilgrim's Progress, a Christian's heavy burden of sin, which was represented by a heavy pack, had been removed when he saw the cross of Christ, when he saw what Jesus had done for him. He didn't need to climb this hill difficulty with a heavy pack load of regret and shame and guilt. And neither brothers and sisters do we. That's a glorious truth. And so if you're sitting in the congregation this morning and you think about your past and you regret some of the things you've done and you're saddened by that and it can distract you at times, remember this. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Christ has paid for all the faults and sins and failures of his people. He's paid to lighten the load so that we can follow him and we can climb that hill difficulty. And I know a number of you today are climbing particularly steep, as it were, on that Christian journey. We can and we should, congregation, climb without distraction and move forwards, which brings us to our second point, climbing forwards. Imagine that you're running a race. Nobody runs a race by going backwards. That'd be stupid. And nobody runs a race by going sideways. It's obvious. You run forwards. You run forwards. The Apostle Paul writes that he was straining forwards to what lies ahead. And the Greek word translated straining forwards there expresses the idea of reaching forward, of straining forward. It was used in the ancient world of athletes. And those of you who know anything about running, you might know that there's a posture in running which is a slight forward lean. The idea is almost to kind of fall forwards as you run. It's the same kind of idea. Now, Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress had changed from running up the hill difficulty to clambering up on his hands and his knees because, you see, the hill got very steep. And when he came to the top of the hill, he saw two men running down the hill. Their names were Timorous and Mistrust. Timorous means suffering from nervousness or a lack of confidence. Some of us tend to have characters that are more like that. Mistrust means being suspicious of or having no confidence in. You see, Timorous and Mistrust had seen a couple of lions up towards the top of the hill and they got scared and they didn't dare go on. Timorous explained, "The further we go, the more danger we meet with. Therefore, we turned and are going back again." Now, you might think that climbing, running, or living the Christian life is mostly about making a huge physical effort. But it's not. It's not. The words in our text, straining forward, might suggest that to you. But in fact, whether you're climbing, running, or living the Christian life, your progress is mainly determined by your attitude. Your mindset. It's true. Straining forward is actually a mindset. And the Apostle Paul explains this in verses 15 and 16. "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also." And so what is this attitude which we must have if we are going to climb the hill difficulty in the Christian life? What is this mind that we must have? It's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus Christ in his perfect life on this earth always strained forward toward his goal. He always kept, we could say, the big picture in mind. He looked beyond the great difficulty of the cross to the joy of fulfilling the purpose that God the Father had given to him. And I want to say to you this morning that the hill difficulty for Jesus Christ was far greater, steeper, higher than it will ever be for any of us. In fact, when we climb upwards in the Christian life, we do so in the strength of Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, the difficulty was extreme. He was greatly distressed and troubled, saying to his disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And instead of remaining awake, the disciples slept, just as Christian did in the Pilgrim's Progress when he was partway up the hill difficulty. And by God's grace, someone came to this sleeping pilgrim and quoted from Proverbs 6:6, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, continue her ways and be wise." I don't know if you've ever seen Cadets and Gems and everybody else in ant colony, but if you've ever seen ants, I don't think I've ever seen a stationary ant. They're always on the move, unless they're dead, of course. A stationary ant. No, they're busy, and that's the point. Once he was awake again, Christian started up and sped on his way and went apace until he came to the top of the hill. Christian moved forward and upward towards his goal, which Bunyan describes as the celestial city representing the New Jerusalem described in the book of Revelation. So let me ask you a question. This is for everybody, Cadets and Gems included. Have you ever fallen asleep in church? Or have you stopped concentrating? Let's be honest with ourselves, probably everybody has. You know, I get a very clear view of the congregation from up here. And if you can see me, I can see you. I can see when people are nodding off. I can see when people are chatting to each other. I remember once in a church, not this one, a young couple were sitting in the back row. And they were clearly focusing their attention on each other. And they got closer and closer. And then they kissed each other. They clearly weren't focused on what was happening from the pulpit, I can tell you that. Now, perhaps you've heard that old joke about the man who falls asleep during the sermon. And the preacher spies him and addresses his neighbor in the pew. "Can you reach over and wake him up?" Turn the punchline you probably know follows. "Well, preacher, you put him to sleep, you wake him up." So Cadets and Gems, I want to encourage you to be alert, to be awake, to listen to what is being said. When your counselors speak to you, they desire to instruct you not only in practical things so that you can gain your badges, but also in spiritual things so that you may have the wisdom of God. So stay alert and awake. As a church, Cadets and Gems, we all desire that you would strain forward to what lies ahead as you live for Jesus. Live for Jesus a life that is true, striving to please him, you know how it goes, in all that you do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. Why? Because this is the pathway of blessing for you, Cadets and Gems, and for us all. It's a narrow upward path, this pathway of blessing, but at the end of that path is a prize of the greatest value, which brings us to our third and final point, climbing for the prize. So at the time when Paul wrote to the Philippians in the first century, athletes in the games, the Greek games in particular, could gain great fame and fortune if they won the race. And Alex Honnold has actually become something of a celebrity through the movie Free Solo, which was made of his ascent, about his ascent of El Capitan. Now, if you haven't already done so, Cadets and Gems, you could gain the rock climbing badge. I can't see the rock climbing badge on anybody. Oh, there is one. Well done. You could gain the rock climbing badge and then display it for everybody to see. So prizes and recognitions in life, they're good things when they are in their place, as long as they don't result in us becoming proud and self-centered. But you know, however many prizes, however many achievements you and I may gain in this life, ultimately, we have to leave them all behind when we die. Someone said, and you've probably heard this before, that hearses, those are the vehicles that carry coffins with dead people in them, hearses don't pull trailers. The prize, you see, that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians about is a prize that is fully gained after we die. It's given to all who will follow Jesus Christ by faith because they believe that he climbed the ultimate hill difficulty on their behalf, going all the way to the cross to die for people like you and me. Jesus Christ went to the cross, think about this, living a life where he forgot what lay behind him and he strained forward to what lay ahead. He forgot, that is, he didn't pay attention to what he had left behind. And the Apostle Paul describes what Jesus left behind when he came to earth. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And this Jesus died. He died, and he was buried, and he remained dead for 3 days. But then he was alive again, raised to life. And it's this Jesus who is the prize that the Apostle Paul was climbing or running for. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is knowing Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. The prize is being able to see this Jesus one day face to face in the new heavens and the new earth, in a resurrected body. There, the fullness of the blessings to be experienced will be experienced by all who follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the gift of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ is this everlasting life. You know, some people say, I don't think I want to live forever because life can be pretty miserable and difficult and troublesome and painful and sad. Well, this life can and often is. But the life that Jesus promises us is a life in a different world, or a remade world, if you will, where the things that trouble us in this life, the disappointments, the losses, the sadness, the suffering, the pain, all of that will be no more. And so it is a prize of inestimable value. An ongoing experience of perfect wisdom, holiness, joy, peace, and friendship forever. Think of the very best moments of your life. This existence in the new heavens and the new earth will be like that, only better all the time, without interruption. It's glorious, it's beautiful, and it's the prize for which those who run the race for Jesus Christ keep in mind. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 17, that we heard earlier, expresses this prize that comes to all who trust in Christ in those words, when it asks the question, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? And there are three things. Firstly, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. And so what that means is, it means that when Jesus died, the righteousness, that's the goodness, the perfection, the obedience of Jesus Christ, God took and credited to people like you and me who trust in him, so that God sees us as being acceptable, holy, worthy, righteous. Secondly, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to new life. And so those who believe in Christ already live this life, not in its fullness that will come, but a life that can be a life of profound joy and security and peace and tranquility, even in the midst of the turmoil around us. And thirdly and finally, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. We know that God is able to raise people from the dead because he's done it for his son. And his son is described in the Bible as the first fruits, the first of many who will be raised to new life in resurrected bodies. And that's what the Apostle Paul is running for. He's running this race, he's climbing this hill in order to attain to that experience of being with the resurrected Jesus Christ. We're going to see next week, by God's grace, in the next sermon in this series, that in the Pilgrim's Progress, having climbed this hill difficulty, Christian comes to the Palace Beautiful. And that's a place of great rest and comfort and relief. And he's going to meet there characters by the names of Watchful, Discretion, Piety, Prudence, and Charity. But you know, as we come together as a church, as a congregation week by week, the Lord is providing us with a place of rest and relief from the turmoil that is around us. A place that we can gather together and know, as it were, a foretaste of this blessed peace that will come in the future. The church is, in a sense, a palace beautiful on earth. So as we close, cadets and gems, I want you to listen again to some wise advice that comes from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So the straight path you see that Christ leads people who follow him on is a difficult path. The Bible makes no pretense about it being otherwise. It's a difficult path. It involves a steep climb at times when people like you and me may and sometimes do lose our footing. And perhaps you're someone this morning who has lost their footing, who has slipped or is slipping. Well, here's the good news. We are able by grace to come back on track, to turn again to Jesus Christ, to look to him in repentance and faith, and he will set our feet aright, as it were, and put us back on track. And so don't be discouraged this morning if you feel like you've lost your footing. Come today to Jesus Christ and he will set you right. And be encouraged today, because Jesus Christ has climbed this hill difficulty to the cross for us, brothers and sisters. And as you follow him, straining forward to what lies ahead, forget what lies behind and press on to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.